Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Strategies of Success. When I take a look at the guests and the topics that we discuss, generally they'll fall into a couple of different categories. That overall motivational kind, hey, this person could do it, you could do it too. Sometimes it's a bit more on the content-driven side, how to actually go and do something, and that we learn from. And then the other side of it is how we interact with different people. And it could be like different networking events to go to, how to identify an accountability partner, how to identify a regular partner, all these kinds of questions. But today's program is actually going to encompass all of that. Because today's program, what we're going to look at is the foundation for the decision process on all of those other things that we do in order to further our business, improve ourselves, and to take a look at time management, how we are going to decide what we want to do, when we want to do it, and if it makes sense for us. But it's that if it makes sense for us comment that really is the most important thing. Why do we do what we do? How do we decide what is the right thing to do? And there is, well, I'm going to tell you, there's two people we're going to listen to. One of them is certainly going to be our guest. Person is going to be you, that inner voice that you have. So who is our guest today? Our guest today is a speaker. She does training, one-on-one training, also at corporate events. She has hosted her own radio show. She has been quoted in numerous amounts of magazines and different articles. And she is also a TEDx speaker, a good friend of mine, and her name is Carol Ward. And Carol, I want to thank you so much for joining us today from a very, very busy schedule, because you are certainly a contributor in so many different places, and it's wonderful.
Oh, Brian, thank you. It's a pleasure. You know, we have a long history of our Toastmaster background. We've spoken at events together, so I'm really delighted to be here.
Yeah, it's great. And I, on that one occasion that we did speak together from where we were leading a group to teach them different ways in order to further themselves and get themselves out into the public eye. And you've been a terrific asset to me in that respect. And it has helped me further along where I'm able to deliver my message in different places. And I truly do thank you, you know, so much for being so generous and so generous with your time. And, you know, as I look through all of the accomplishments that you have, be it the writing and contributing to the articles, the speaking, and interacting with people on a one-on-one basis, you know, the time management thing does come up, you know. So how do you decide where you're going to go, what you're going to do, the whole basis behind all of that?
Well, you know, Brian, I think it corresponds to where you're at in your career and your life. So, for example, when I was first starting out as a therapist, when I started my private practice, basically anybody who knocked on my door, I had a consultation with and then decided whether they would come into my practice or not. As I've gotten more experienced, I've become a little more selective based on if they're the right fit for me or if I have the time in the room to work with someone with a period of time. And I think the same goes with your career and business. I think at the beginning you want to maybe find yourself trying a whole bunch of different things, and that helps with discovery of what it is that matters to you and what you like. And as you go along, you're going to get more and more attuned. I know we're talking about that wise inner voice on what feels right to you and what may not be the best use of your time.
Yeah, and that whole basis of everything comes down to the, you know, the thought process, the psychology of everything, and the psychology fits into every aspect of every business decision across the way. But your training is in psychology. What pushed you in that direction just to begin with?
You know, and I have a feeling you're the same way. I really like people. I am fascinated by people. And even as a kid, I found myself getting into conversations with different people. I like to discover who they were and what made them tick. And it just seemed like a natural progression. I started to do some informal coaching. You know, you always know you're going to be a good therapist when people come and tell you their problems, and that's how it was for me. And I decided, I've had many different careers as other people have, and I think I want to say that as well, Brian. I think life doesn't always have to make us feel like we're stuck in one place. I've had a career in the restaurant business. I had a career as a performer. I found myself exploring different things. As many people know, I had a career as a dog walker. And eventually, I found myself into the area of psychology. And all those different things that I was involved with all had a connection to people. So it just made perfect sense for me to start to study and to learn how to help people in a much more psychological and trained way.
That's exactly what I was thinking here. And they're saying, oh, you know, I got to bring up the common thread amongst all of those different areas. There's a wide variety of different areas. But the common thread really is you interacting with somebody else. You know, you sort of like going into psychology, being a therapist. I was like, well, if you're on a therapist, you're going to be a bartender because you get to hear everybody's problems. You know?
That's right.
But the performer, it's not about them. You know, it's about the audience. Someone in the restaurant business, it's not about you. It's about, are you really delivering to the clientele? All of this has to do with paying attention to them. And I think the driving force behind that, you know, is being curious about other people. And that
it
seems to be something
it's
that
true.
Is a common, right, that common thread amongst everything that you're doing.
And I think it's, you know, I think as people think about, you know, themselves and their career and how they find out what they love to do, a great way to do that is exactly that, to notice what are the things that I'm drawn to? What are the activities? What are the areas of interest and why? What are the common thread? Or maybe I love music. Maybe I love spirituality. What are the things that pull us and tug on our heart? And that's a great place to start when you're trying to figure out what direction you want to go to in terms of your career or a course of study.
All right. Sometimes putting that list down really does make sense, where you
mm-hmm.
write down all those things that have brought you joy, you know, over your life, or from either business, personal kind of thing. But that certainly does open up insights as to who you are. As long as you don't think about it, just do it without any real thinking, and then go back and take a look at that. But, you know, those kind of lists, you know, will allow us to go figure out, you know, what it is that keeps us excited about something. But I have seen, and I'm also very interested in learning about people. Obviously, we're doing an interview-style radio program over here. That's one of my things is, you know, I enjoy hearing other people's stories. But quite a few people kind of forget their own story. They lose track of why they do what they do or where they're going. And I don't know, this is going to be a question certainly for you, is like, but why is it that people lose their way? Are they giving up too soon, or are they just finding the challenge too much? Or are they forgetting that inner desire?
All of the above. I think that people have circumstances in life for sure that affect some of their decisions. But also, you know, when you think about it, everyone who has kids, you know, kids are very open and they want to do this. They want to be a nurse. They want to be a fireman. They want to be a doctor. They want to be a lawyer. And if they get the message from the people around them that they shouldn't do that, or they're not supposed to do that, that they should do something sensible, then over time people lose the connection between their heart and their head, and they just operate from what they should do as opposed to maybe what they want to do. Now, as I say that, I know that we can't always do exactly what we want to do in life, because as we grow up, we tend to get more and more responsibilities, we take on careers, or we raise a family. But I think the important thing is, you know, maybe you're not going to be that astronaut after all, but if you love looking at the stars or learning about planets, somewhere in your life, if you can carve out a place for you to have that passion and that desire studied and explored, it's going to make your life feel much better. So in what you say, Brian, it's that over time we're told and we're given messages that who we are and what we feel is not right, And so we start to disconnect from our feelings and our emotions.
So we should really stay in touch with that idea of becoming an astronaut. And certainly the way we're going, if we make enough money, you sooner or later everybody can go up into space. But besides that
right.
aspect of it, because that might be a few years down the road. But so even if the career path doesn't take you in a direction that you can do, certainly that love of the love of space could be turned into a hobby, could be turned into just a personal interest, but you're not losing that connection, not losing that, you know, mind-body connection is incredibly important, because that keeps you on that
yes.
path as to who you are.
It's really important, Brian. You know, I worked with someone many years ago who loved art and painted as a kid, but unfortunately, at one point in his life, he encountered a really critical art teacher who said, you know, what are you doing this for? You don't have the talent. I mean, he just loved it because he loved it. And he happened, you know, when I was working with him, he happened to bring in some of his pieces, and they were just lovely. But he pushed that whole area of his life aside because he had heard from someone, and he took it right into his heart that he shouldn't be pursuing art because he was no good. And then later on, as we were working, he was actually headed into retirement, and he was going to have more space in his life. And we were exploring what he might want to do with some of his time. And was like pulling teeth, but he eventually said, I think I'd like to explore art. And all of these feelings came up. I shouldn't do it. Why should I? I'm not any good. And I said, let's try one step at a time. How about if you just walk into an art store and see how that feels? And then he bought some supplies, and then he started painting on his own, and then he started to paint in a class. So we don't have to jump from never being allowed to do what we've always wanted to do into going to it full force, but we can take tiny little steps and keep those dreams and those likes alive within us.
Sounds like we're managing that fear of failure kind of
mm-hmm.
thought process that goes on. Well, you know, I may not become, you know, what if I'm not a fantastic artist? But you don't have to be a fantastic artist to walk into an art store.
That's right. That's right. And I would
right.
take my own example. I love to dance. And at my gym for many years, I used to take a dance class with a teacher who just happened to be a former Rockette. She used to be a former Rockette with the Radio City Rockettes. And she used to bring in some of her old routines. Brian, you know, there were times when I looked at myself in the mirror and I thought, I could be a Rockette. I mean, I just had
you
that feeling.
I didn't mean to laugh.
That's okay. But you know what I mean. But I felt
yeah.
like a Rockette, and I got my kick out of being a dancer. Even though I'm never going to be on Broadway or be at Radio City, I still got a lot of pleasure from it, and that's what I'm talking about, that you can still keep some of those pleasures alive in your life, even if it's not what you're going to end up doing for a living.
Yeah, yeah. I had this desire to see if I could really sing. I was on a cruise ship. You wound up on stage. That's the beauty. This is like one of the challenges of being the Toastmaster, by the way, folks. Because when you are a Toastmaster, you always look for places to speak. Well, in this case, it was a karaoke bar. Sorry, so I wasn't speaking. I was singing. I wound up winning this contest. The short of it, I was the only contestant. So I wound up singing James Brown, right, which I thought was James Dean. I got a little confused on that. In front of 1,100 people with a full-blown orchestra, total costume, the whole thing. Did I ever in a million years imagine that would happen? No. So you got to be careful of the law of attraction, too. So you may not wind up on Broadway, but as an actress or as a dancer, but as a speaker, you just very may happen.
That's right. I feel very comfortable about moving in front of an audience and getting an audience to move. So, again, our love of something that means a lot to us can translate to an audience or even in the workplace. You know, when the happier you are, and I don't mean that we have to be happy all the time. I want to switch the word. The more content you are in your life, doing the best that you can for yourself, your family, your friends, and your community, the more that is going to radiate out and the more people are going to be drawn to it. So you create the kind of success that you want when you honor who you are inside, and then it radiates outside.
You know, if we could just stay on that topic a little bit, because There's a number of folks that have run into limitations, that body limitations, some of them by self-inflicted issues that they've had along the way, others by health-related issues that have altered what they physically can do and can accomplish, again, from a physical standpoint. But the mind standpoint, you know, is not. So those are real some career-altering changes, you know, that have taken place with people. And what you're suggesting here is that they should lose who they are deep down inside and then figure out a way to still enjoy and still achieve something within that area that is their inner voice, what they're really interested in.
That's right. That's really right. And, you know, as you know, I'm a big believer in the body-mind connection. And I believe that, you know, we can't dismiss what our bodies are telling us, and that there's always a very quick exchange going between the body and the mind. And, you know, in our gut, you know, that's why they call it gut instinct. There's been all of these studies done, and it's true. You know, they sometimes call the gut the second brain because there are a lot of nerve endings in the gut that go right up to the brain, and things go back and forth very quickly. And that's why sometimes we feel things in our stomach first before we know what's going on. But I think that if we can pay attention to what our body is telling us about the people we hang out with, the situations and experiences that we're having, whether we're pushing ourselves too hard, whether we need to have more fun, that body-mind connection can be a great compass in life. And I just spoke recently, actually, at a Toastmaster conference in January, all about the body-mind connection. And I had people coming up to me afterwards just saying, you know, and they would pat their chest and they say, you know, when you feel it in here, you know it's real. That's when you have to trust. And they're, you know, that whole torso, the stomach, the chest, when you feel it in your heart, when you feel it in your stomach, as much as you can, try to pay attention that your body is trying to tell your mind something.
And trust it. And that might be one of those hard things to do, to trust yourself, to trust that voice.
It is hard to trust. Yeah. And so you have to cultivate it, Brian. You know, again, I'm a big believer that in processes, you know, that we get to find out over time, as opposed to we have to instantly know exactly what our body is telling our mind. No, we're just going to start to pay attention to when that little funny feeling happens, or when we get that feeling in our chest, and just to say, what just happened that made me feel that way? Or whenever you have to make a decision, you know, people say they're not easy in their mind, that something feels off about it, to say, what is my body trying to tell me? Slow down. Maybe I need to ask someone else for their opinion. But to try not to discount that there's some signal going on. Because if you can start to really trust that signal, it can help you make great personal and professional decisions.
Does it make sense? Well, does it make sense to, you know, go and meditate or go for a long walk? This way, go someplace quiet and listen to that voice and listen to what's going on, or is it more? I was gonna say it's more of a gut instinct, or is it, you know, more of like an in the moment kind of decision when some situation happens? Is there a suggested way that you would have for people to figure out what their body is telling them?
That's a great question, and it's actually, you almost gave the answer right in it. One is, the more time you take, and it doesn't have to be hours, the more time you take to have quiet time with yourself. So that could be, for some people, it's prayer in the morning. For some people, it's reading spiritual books. For some people, it's actually exercising. They get a lot of, you know, thoughts and ideas and relaxation from running or dancing or whatever it is. For me, when I walk my dog in the morning, a lot of thoughts and contemplation can happen. So it's really whatever activity that is you by yourself that allows your mind and your spirit to be free, that's going to help you start to trust more when those funny little signs and signals come up. You need to get to that place of a clear mind and a clear heart and physically relaxed as much as possible. I mean, we have crazy days and we work hard and, you know, many people are chasing kids and driving and doing everything. But the more we cultivate, you know, our inner voice, the more it's going to be available to us. You know, people talk about being able to hear God or hear their higher power or hear their inner voice. And the reason they're able to do that is they've built a relationship with God or their higher power or their inner voice. And they've built that relationship by taking time every day quietly or, you know, doing some activity that helps them calm down and connect to who they are.
Right. And that activity certainly would be different for different people. You get me on a dance stage dancing, I'm not thinking about altogether too much other than not tripping over myself.
Right.
But the long walks or running or, you know, bike riding or whatever it might, you know, whatever it might be, or just flat out, you know, prayer, quiet time, meditation, that would be a good place to go for, and depending upon the person, you know, where you're able to block out other people. So it's important to get opinions from other people, but you still have to go back and trust yourself. You take that as outside influences and then work it through yourself when you are the one making the decision.
That's absolutely true, Brian. And you know that, you know, you mentioned something that was really a good technique. So, you know, when people are praying or they're meditating, the great thing to do is once your mind is clear, then you can write down what really matters to you or what are the answers that you get. You know, for example, so when I'm walking my dog, I'll get these thoughts about speeches or articles I want to write. And after the walk is when I come home and I write them down. They just seem to free flow when I'm not just concentrating. And I really recommend this to people. You really carve out that time without interruption. When I was first walking my dog, I had my phone in my pocket, and sometimes I would take phone calls and I would walk with my dog and be on the phone, and I realized two things. One, he was always bound to get something off the street when I wasn't paying attention. And the second thing is it kept me from myself. It's really tempting to want to hang out with someone on the phone when you're walking, but if you've chosen that time for you, put the phone down. Or if you, you know, for some reason you have to be aware of it in case there's an emergency, put it on vibrate and just be with yourself. And that is going to be the greatest resource you have for creating success in your life.
I totally agree with you. I'll go for the walks. I don't bring a dog with me. I bring the camera with me. And I go out and it allows me to be a little bit more creative with me. And it's just me. And, you know, if taking the photo is the most important thing at the moment, you know, it is. Other than that, you know, it still is just, you know, away from everything else, and it puts me into a whole different place. I'm not a professional photographer, but it just, you know, just going from a hobby standpoint. So it just puts me into a whole other, you know, a whole other world. I sound a little corny on the whole thing, but you're right. You know, it is your time. So if you do bring somebody else in by phone, that may not be exactly what best, it may not serve you best. But you speaking to other people sometimes does serve you best. You do an awful lot of public speaking. You know, it is all about the audience. It's about you. It's about, you know, talking, communicating with everybody. You know, what pushed you in that kind of direction? Or why did you feel compelled to do the public presentation as opposed to just, you know, the therapy with the smaller groups or one-on-one?
You know, it's so interesting. I ended up, for some reason, I hadn't done any speaking at all, and I decided to go to a National Speakers Association event years ago. I don't know what pulled me to it. You know, again, talk about a higher power or an inner feeling, and I ran into a guy there who's a Toastmaster in my current club, and we got into a conversation. His name is Mike Landrum. He's a great speaker, and he said you ought to check out Toastmasters. And I went, okay, why not? And I ended up going to a meeting, and there was just something about it. You know that feeling? You're like, oh, I feel at home here. And so I started to speak in my own Toastmaster club, and then from there, I had a couple people within my club ask me if I would be interested in speaking at some outside events. And then Toastmaster gave me the confidence to want to go out and share what I had studied in the areas of psychology or leadership and share that with other people. And then you know this, Brian, the more I did it, the more I loved it, and I realized is that my love of people, I was able to reach more people as a speaker than just one-on-one, and that was very gratifying for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I do know that. That's what got me in trouble on that cruise ship. Or it gave me an opportunity to do something that was absolutely wild. I never felt so alive as opposed to speaking in front of or singing in front of so many people. And it certainly is gratifying. Well, when the audience, you know, walks away, you know, with that message, and they really take away something that they could put into action for themselves. And I think that, you know, that's a wonderful feeling. And I don't think that's a selfish feeling. I think that's a great giving feeling, you know, with everybody. You know, and we, you know, we lived in such a, you know, a stressed life, you know, and we got to make business decisions, family decisions. If you're walking the dog, you got to make some dog decisions, you know, along the way.
You know, exactly.
Are there some techniques that you would recommend to people to, you know, reduce the amount of stress in their life? Because it certainly seems that the more we can handle or more we can manage, not even handle. So the more we manage the level of stress we have, clearer and easier it's going to be in order for us to listen to that inner voice. Because if we're getting bombarded with everything all day long, when do you have time to think or listen to your gut?
It's right. So since I am such a body, mind, spirit person, I always say start with the body. Do something that relieves stress, whether it's walking or running or dancing, something that helps you calm down, yoga, whatever it is for you, whatever your body wants to do. Not everybody wants to do yoga. Not everybody wants to run a marathon. Find the thing physically that can help you calm down and get centered. And I'm going to share with your listeners something I want to offer to them in a moment that can help them with that. The other thing is mentally. You know, sometimes people, when they feel stressed, they think, I've got to learn something new to figure out how to reduce my stress. And I always say, before you take on anything else in your life, you want to look at your life and say, what can I remove from my life to reduce the stress? What needs to come off my schedule in order for me to be less stressed? Do I really need to go and do that thing? And to learn the word no. No, I'm unavailable. No, I can't do that. I'm sorry. No, I don't have the time in my schedule. So physical, learning how to say no, taking things off your plate. And then spiritually, I think that having some kind of connection with nature or a higher power or whatever your belief system is, God or the universe or Buddha, something that allows you to let go of and hand over your problems and worries and stress and put them away and ask for help from somebody outside of yourself. And that could be a spiritual figure or it could be someone in your personal life, you know, that you need to ask for support. Maybe it's from your spouse, I need more support at home. Maybe it's from a friend, can you listen to my problems or could you help me find a solution? So physical, learning to say no, and then asking for help either spiritually or with someone in your life, currently in your life, can really help reduce the stress.
Yeah, that's great advice. Because as soon as you said learning how to say no, my palms started sweating. And I know
there
that's
you
one
go.
Of the
there's
that,
a body signal, Brian.
And there's a buddy of mine that I exercise with, and I do exercise to relax, believe it or not, but, you know, that is the case. But he's also my accountability partner. So every once in a while, I go through the list of things, and the last time we got together, he's like, you have to reduce some of the stuff that's out there that you are doing that just doesn't make 100% sense. Carol, spot on. Absolutely spot on with everything. So you'd like
and
to
I
share
wanna,
something with all the listeners?
Yeah, I do, Brian. I want to because I do love people, and I want to offer anyone who signs up for my mailing list who's listening to your show, I have this wonderful 5-minute stress release audio download. I create it with this wonderful engineer. We set it to original music. It combines breathing and isometric, you know, squeezing and relaxing the muscles in your hand. And it's something that you can do in your office. You can do while you're waiting for your kids in the car. You can do it on the train. You can, once you learn it, if you can't hear, you know, if you can't, you know, bring it into a meeting, you can certainly do the the actual exercises without the music, and it's a great way to help you calm down and de-stress. And it's my gift to your listeners because I want everyone to feel more balanced and connected in their life. They can go to my website at carolward.com. And I know you have this on your show posting. If they just go to my website and they sign up, they can get the free download.
That's terrific. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you sharing that, you know, with everybody. And and you're just sharing your whole thoughts on this program and on stage, you know, with the different groups that you present that. It is phenomenal, and it is something that we all need to do, reduce stress and listen to ourselves, find that inner voice. So, Carol, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Brian.
You, my pleasure. You know, Carol, you gave those three actionable ideas for everybody, so I'm going to let that sit with that one. It is so important, folks, for you to go figure out what it is that you are doing and to trust yourself. You know, if you take away nothing other than going to Carol's website, of course, and then learning how to trust yourself, you will make the right decisions. And if you do make a decision that's not 100% correct, you just change it a little bit. That's fine. But understand who you are, and that is going to make everything so much better for you, reducing stress, making time work for you, and you will accomplish that much more also. And you were listening to Carol Ward. Her website is www.carolward.com. Certainly go over there, sign up for the newsletter. You can download the information that she has offered. And my name is Brian Cohen. This is Strategies of Success. Start with the foundation. Be clear as to who you are, and you will know exactly where you are going.